Welcome back again. Greetings to all our beloved BTR family out there. And welcome to another Wednesday edition, Let's Talk with Mr. Talk. That is Eric Jackson. Mr. Talk won't be joining us today. So, again, I hope you guys don't mind me filling in temporarily. This is Cloud Nation broadcasting live and direct through your system. Today's show is part two of GMOs, chemtrails, and pesticides. What is healthy eating, really? Part two is entitled Pesticides, Herbicides, Chemtrails, What is Healthy Eating and Living, Healthy Living. So you can call in and share your thoughts in a few, 347-838-8622. That's 347-838-8622. Press number one, and we will get to you guys soon and open up your mics. Got a couple articles I didn't get to yesterday. I want to make sure I get to them today before I open up the mics so that this information can be out there and I can put these links in the chat room. Starting off with a study that sparked organic foods debate. It's from the BBC News, written by writer and journalist James Morgan, the science reporter. Says that a new scientific view claims organic foods are higher in nutrients and lower in pesticides compared with conveniently grown varieties. Its authors carry out an analysis of 343 peer-reviewed studies looking at the composition of crops and foods. They concluded organic crops had higher levels of certain antioxidants, such as polyphenols, which have been linked to health benefits. But critics of the review said its claims had been overstated. They argued the differences found between organic and non-organic crops were not significant, and that public health would be best served by getting people to eat more fruit and veg, irrespective of the farming methods used in the crop's production. The latest study runs counter to two previous systematic reviews, which found that organic and non-organic foods were broadly comparable in nutritional terms. Five a day. The new review published in the British Journal of Nutrition was funded by the EU and the Sheep Drove Trust, an organic farming charity. Its international team of scientists reviewed the available literature comparing the chemical content of foods, primarily cereals, vegetables, and fruit, and crop-based products such as seed oils, wine, and baby food. The meta analysis found differences between organic and non-organic varieties, which the team concluded were significant and meaningful. Organic foods have elevated levels of compounds often described as antioxidants, such as phenolic acids, flavonoids, and anthocyanins. Many of these compounds have previously been linked to a reduced risk of chronic diseases, including cardiovascular disease and neurodegenerative disease in certain cancers, the authors wrote. However, levels of proteins, amino acids, and nitrogen were lower in the organic crop sampled. Lead author, Carlo Lefert of Newcastle University said, this study demonstrates that choosing food produced according to organic standards can lead to increased intake of nutritional desirable antioxidants and reduce exposure to toxic heavy metals. However, the study noted, it is important to point out that there is still a lack of knowledge about the potential human health impacts of increasing antioxidant intake levels and switching to organic food consumption. Now, the new findings stand opposed to two previous meta-analyses that found no significant composition differences between organic and conventionally farmed crops. In 2012, a study by Stanford University scientists looked at 237 papers, concluded that no consistent differences were seen in the vitamin content of organic products, and only one nutrient, phosphorus, was significantly higher in organic versus conventionally produced, grown produce. In 2009, a Food Standards Agency report led by Dr. Alan Dangor analyzed 55 studies and found organic and non-organic foods were broadly comparable in their nutrient content. There was no difference in the majority of nutrients analyzed and no good evidence that increased dietary intake of the nutrients indeed were identified to be present in larger amounts in organic crops and livestock products would be of benefit to individuals. Professor LaFert said the main difference between the two studies is time. Research in the area has been slow to take off the ground, and we have far more data available to us now than 5 years ago. I thought this it's a contrasting viewpoint to some of the other articles that I have here. So I definitely wanted to make sure it's objective and give people the opportunity to formulate their own views. We don't want to, you know, force our ideas on anyone. So I definitely wanted to make sure you see the broader spectrum and look at it from more than one angle. This particular article is also written by a science columnist. This is a Popular Science, in fact, and it says the it's called The Core Truths, 10 Common GMO Claims Debunked in this particular article. So it says, later this year, the U.S. Department of Agriculture may approve the Arctic Granny in Golden, the first genetically modified apples to hit the market, although it will probably be another 2 years before the non-browning fruits appear in stores. At least one producer is already scrambling to label its apples GMO-free. The looming apple campaign is just the latest salvo in the ongoing war over genetically modified organisms, GMOs, one that's grown increasingly contentious. Over the past decade, the controversy surrounding GMOs has sparked worldwide riots and vandalism of crops in Oregon, the United Kingdom, Australia, and the Philippines. In May, the governor of Vermont signed a law that will likely make it the first U.S. state to require labels for genetically engineered ingredients. More than 50 states already mandate them. Vermont State Senator David Zuckerman told Democracy Now!, "As consumers, we are guinea pigs because we really don't understand the ramifications. But the truth is, GMOs have been studied intensely, and they look a lot more prosaic than the hype contends. To make Arctic apples, biologists took genes from Granny Smith and Golden Delicious varieties, modified them to suppress the enzyme that causes browning, and reinserted them in the leaf tissue. It's a lot more accurate than traditional methods, which involve breeders hand-pollinating blossoms in hopes of producing fruit or with the desired trait. Biologists also introduced genes to make plants pest and herbicide resistant. Those traits dominate the more than 430 million acres of GMO crops that have already been planted globally. Scientists are working on varieties that survive disease, drought, and flood. So what exactly do consumers have to fear? To find out, Popular Science chose 10 of the most common claims about GMOs and interviewed nearly a dozen scientists, keyword, scientists, who make money off of this, off of GMOs. I just want to throw that out there. Their collective answer, not much at all. Claim number one, genetic engineering is a radical technology. Claim number two, GMOs are too new for us to know if they are dangerous. Their response, it depends on how you define new. Genetically engineered plants first appeared in the lab about 30 years ago and became a commercial product in 1994. Since then, more than 1,700 peer-reviewed safety studies have been published, including five lengthy reports from the National Research Council, also a scientist group, that focus on human health and the environment. The scientific consensus is that existing GMOs are no more or less risky than conventional crops. Claim number three, farmers can't replant genetically modified seeds. So-called terminator genes, which can make seeds sterile, never made it out of the patent office in the 1990s. Seed companies do require farmers to sign agreements that prohibit replanting in order to ensure annual sales. Of course they do. But Kent Bradford, a plant scientist at the University of California, Davis, says large-scale commercial growers typically don't save seeds anyway. Of course he said that. Corn is a hybrid of two lines from the same species. So its seeds won't pass on the right traits to next generation. Cotton and soy seeds could be saved, but most farmers don't bother. The quality deteriorates, they get weeds and so on, and it's not a profitable practice, Bradford says. Claim number four is that we don't need GMOs. There are other ways to feed the world. Claim number five is GMOs cause allergies, cancer, and other health problems. Many people worry that genetically engineering introduces hazardous proteins, particularly allergens and toxins, into the food chain. It's a reasonable concern. Theoretically, it's possible for a new gene to express a protein that provokes an immune response. That's why biotech companies consult with the Food and Drug Administration about potential GMO foods and perform extensive allergy and toxic testing. Those tests are voluntary, but commonplace. If they're not done, the FDA can block it, the products. Because we know the FDA blocks so many bad products, right, guys? One frequently cited study published in 2012 by researchers from the University of Cayenne in France claimed that one of Monsanto's corn GMOs caused tumors in lab rats. But the study was widely discredited because of faulty test methods, and the journal retracted it in 2013. More recently, researchers from the universities of Perugia in Italy published a review of 1,783 GMO-tested safety tests. 770 examined the health impact on humans or animals. They found no evidence that the foods are dangerous. Claim number six, all research on GMOs has been funded by Big AG. This simply isn't true. Over the past decade, hundreds of independent researchers have published peer-reviewed safety studies. At least a dozen medical and scientific groups, keyword, medical and scientific groups, worldwide, including the World Health Organization and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, also keywords, have stated that the GMOs currently approved for market are safe. Claim number seven, genetically modified crops cause farmers to overuse pesticides and herbicides. This truth requires a little parsing. Two relevant GMOs dominate the market. The first enables crops to express a protein from the bacterium bacillus thuringiensis, which is toxic to certain insects. It's also the active ingredient in pesticides used by organic farmers. Crops have dramatically reduced reliance on chemical insecticide in some regions, says Bruce Tabasnik, a University of Arizona entomologist. The second allows crops to tolerate herbicide, also glyphosate, so that farmers can spray entire fields with more liberally yet kill only weeds. The glyphosate use has skyrocketed in the U.S. since the GMOs were introduced in 1996, but glyphosate is among the mildest herbicides available, with a toxicity 25 times less than caffeine. Its use has decreased reliance on more toxic alternatives, such as atrazine. Claim number 8 is GMOs create super insects and super weeds. Claim number 9 is that GMOs harm beneficial insect species. And number 10 is the claim that modified genes spread to other crops and wild plants, upending the ecosystem. All these and more are in the working their way to the chat room as we speak, and I think it's about that time to start opening up the mics. And we're definitely going to talk a little bit about Monsanto today and look at some of the policies that have been formulated regarding this particular study. So remember, the number again is, for those who may have forgotten, the number is 347-838-8622. That again is 347-838-8622. You'll see it inside of the chat room. You can press button number 1 if you are interested in sharing your thoughts right now. We'll definitely not hesitate to bring you in to the room. And we also want to touch on some interesting things regarding health, healthy living diet, and we want to look at some exercises. So there's some great exercise ideas out there that aren't as time consuming and are easy accessible, easy to partake in for all of us who are interested. Now, there was another interesting article, since I see no one's pushed button number 1 yet, that I want to get to. In this particular article is actually what I was talking about yesterday, and I didn't finish it, so I figure what better time than now to read this one. And this one actually was giving us some healthy ways to, it was called 16 ways to eat healthy. Healthy while keeping it cheap, which, you know, I like that idea personally. I like to, I'm a frugal guy, you know, I like to keep it cheap, as some people would say, you know. So, yeah, this definitely fits in my my ballpark. Because I'm very, 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 very frugal. Been that way for a long time. So yeah, I like to, got that from my granddad. So I'm very frugal. So yeah, so this is one of my faves. So let's look at some of these. Now it said that you know, eating healthy obviously lowers disease risk, increases productivity, gives you more energy, makes you stronger. Says you probably think eating healthy is expensive, and I'll be honest, it is. But there are tricks to spare your savings account and keep it low cost. Here are 16 ways to eat more healthy while keeping it cheap. What is healthy food? Before we start, let's define healthy food. It consists of protein, the building blocks of muscles needed for strength, fat, a balanced intake of omega-3, 6, and 9, veggies, all kinds, especially green, fibrous veggies. Fruit, full of vitamins, water, 1 liter per 1,000 calories you expand. Whole grain food, oats, rice, pastas, breads. It says number one, switch to water. I drink water amounts of soda daily, huge amounts of soda daily for more than 15 years. That's what the guy said he drank. He used to drink huge amounts of soda for 15 years of his life. Then he started strength training and switched to water. He says that it's healthier and, of course, it's cheaper. Yes. Consume carbonated waters and purified waters, filtered waters. Check the price on the tap water bill in the filters. Now check the price of the bottled water. Quite a difference, isn't it? So why are you buying bottled water? Cleaner? Not necessarily. Better taste? No, simply a matter of adaption. Bottled water companies get their supply from the same source you do, municipal water systems. It's like selling ice to an Eskimo if you don't trust the quality of tap water. Filter it yourself, as I said. He says he uses Brita. I recommend personally purchasing some better tools there, the variety of different tools out there that you can buy. You can look, you can Google it and look online and check out some devices that you can add to your entire water system so that you don't have to buy all these Britas and things like that, but that it will filter your the water you use to wash your hands, to take baths and showers and so on. So that would be my suggestion, to take it deeper than a Brita. He says also eat eggs. We talked about that yesterday. He says he always eats eggs at breakfast, full of vitamins, high in proteins, low in price. Don't believe the eggs and cholesterol myth. Dietary cholesterol is not bound to blood cholesterol. I'm going to make it cheaper, buy a chicken. Number four, he says eat fatty meats. Fatty meats are cheaper and more tasty than lean meats. You think it's not healthy? Check the fat myth. Fat doesn't make you fat. Excess calories do. You need a balanced intake of fats, omega-3, 6, and 9. What we were talking about yesterday is make sure you keep up with the source of your foods, particularly when it comes to purchasing your meats. You want to make sure you deal directly with your farmers and find out how they're raising their cattle. Meats that are coming to commercial stores are about consumption, about sales. It's not about health. So trusting those, that type of meat might not be the, I'm not going to say don't do it. I'm just going to say use caution. And so I personally prefer to keep a relationship with farmers who I'm familiar with and who allow me to tour their facilities to see how they raise and take care of their animals, and give me an open door to come in and out, and check out their products, their how they raise their meat, how they raise their produce, and so on, so that I'll know what types of things they use for that food. And there are a variety of different urban, what they call urban gardens. A lot of people doing it, buying these warehouses, and they're using a variety of different great methods to, I got a chance to take a few classes, and it's some fascinating technology to create gardens and to basically build an entire farm in a house, locally, whether it's in a facility, a farm, or so on. There's so many great forms of technology out there to do it. And you can also do it yourself, like I did. Take a class. I keep relationships with farmers, but you also take a class yourself. Get you a farm, get you a farm, a personal garden or something, and, try to grow some of your own crops. That's something that the elders of my family have passed on to us. I'm sure them being from the South has a lot to do with that, but it's definitely a great experience. And I do personally recommend, if you've never been to the South or to the country or to a farm anywhere, definitely experience it. Stay a little while, test the waters, experience the farm cropping life. It's hard work, but the rewards are so grand. As I said, if you want to call in and share your thoughts, the number is still in the room, 347-838-8622. That, again, is 347-838-8622. Call in and press button number one if you have an interest in chatting, and we can open up the mics to you. Frozen veggies. Now, I told you guys before, frozen veggies are cool, but I prefer fresh veggies and cutting them up and freezing them myself. They say it takes less time to prepare. You don't waste money if not eating it in time, and you can get it by the bulk and discount in stores and freeze them out. The fresher the veggies, the better, in my opinion. You know, so that's fish oil. They say and use multivitamins. You know, they say pesticides lower the vitamin levels of your fruits and veggies. Buy organic food. It can be expensive, but they say use multivitamins. So fish oil, omega-3, is suggested, found in fish oil and fish. Benefits of omega-3 consumption include lower cholesterol levels, decreased body fat, and reduces inflammation, which is all cool things. It says buy a genetic food. The box might be less attractive. It's certainly more attractive to your wallet. So I'm guessing they're telling you to buy GMOs. That's totally up to you guys. I personally prefer farm-raised. You can call it organic, but just food that where you know the seeds are from actual fruit and veggies. You know, and where the meat is raised appropriately and they're fed good, you know, quality products, not these beat up, abused animals that are drenched in dirt and filth, you know, and abused. Those are definitely not things that I personally would recommend. They say buy in bulk. They also say go to the grocery store, which is their suggestion. My personal is buy local, stick with your local farmers, stick with your local gardeners, and you know, you have a few neighbors, a few family members, you know, some people with home gardens. Build a relationship with someone and possibly build a relationship where you guys might start a farm, or suggest, you know, volunteer to do somebody's farm, you know, garden, and who has a home that, you know, if they don't have the ability or the strength to do it. That's one of the things some of my family members did. So it's a good thing to do. And it helps your neighbors too. So that's a partnership you can work out if you like. Also, they suggest that you eat less and that you don't buy junk food. So I have a story on Monsanto. And Monsanto, you're going to hear a lot. They're not the only one, but they're one of the companies that's making headway when it comes to this discussion. So you're going to hear that name a whole lot, not only today, but whenever you're doing your research on herbicides, pesticides, GMOs, and so forth. Reason being, these guys have a monopoly in this industry, so I guess it's only right that their name continues to pop up, and we're going to talk about some of the bills that a variety of different politicians have passed, including our president. And I know there are a lot of super pro-Obama fans in the world, so remember, it's not an assault against the president, and it is what it is. You know, we're putting out the truth. And so if our politicians pass certain bills, we will point those bills out so that we can continue to be informed about what's happening. That's all. So the Mexican farmers actually on the recently blocked the Monsanto law to privatize plants and seeds, which has quietly been going under the radar, quietly been getting no attention. And so they say that these progressive small farmer organizations in Mexico scored a victory over transnational corporations that seek to monopolize seed and food patents. When the corporations pushed their bill to modify the federal law on plant varieties through the Committee on Agriculture and Livestock of the Mexican Chamber of Deputies on March 14th, organizations of farmers from across the country sounded the alarm. By organizing quickly, they joined together to pressure legislators and achieved an agreement with the legislative committee to remove the bill from the floor. What's at stake is free and open access to plant biodiversity in agriculture. The proposed modifications, get this, promote a privatizing model that uses patents and plant breeders' rights, PBR, to deprive farmers of the labor of centuries in developing seeds. Now, the small farmers who worked to create the foundation of modern agriculture never charged royalties for its use. Although the current law, in effect since 1996, pays little heed to the rights of small farmers, the new law would be far worse. Present law tends to benefit private sector plant breeders, allowing monopolies to obtain exclusive profits from the sale of seeds and other plant material for up to 15 years or 18 in the case of perennial ornamental forest or orchard plants. Even then, the plants they use to develop the new varieties are in the public domain. Now, the legislative reform would extend exclusive rights from the sale of reproductive material to 25 years. Further, it seeks to restrict the rights of farmers to store or use for their own consumption any part of the harvest obtained from seeds or breeding material purchased from holders of PBRs. The proposed law would also include genetically modified organisms, GMOs, among the plant varieties covered, converging with the so-called Monsanto Law, Law of Biosecurity and Genetically Modified Organisms. This is an absurd inclusion, since GMOs are created by introducing genetic material from non-plant species. GMOs cannot be considered a distinct variety because they do not result from the genetic variability that underlies natural selection. They are the results of manipulation through biotechnology that crosses the boundaries between species and realms. Another absurdity is the private appropriation of genetic information from live organisms, even those altered with genes of other species. The proposed law would create a Monsanto police by giving the National Service for the Inspection and Certification of Seeds the authority to order and conduct inspection visits, demand information, investigate suspected administrative infractions, order and carry out measures to prevent or stop violations of PBR, and impose administrative sanctions, which are increased by the proposal. It will have a government agency promote PBRs held by individuals or corporations. Holders of PBRs already gain exclusive rights to exploit plant varieties and material for their propagation. The bill under consideration would extend those rights over the products resulting from use of monopolized plant varieties so that, for example, a special license would have to be obtained to use the variety in foods for human consumption or industrial use. Now, farmers win a battle, but the offensive continues, is what the article is saying. It says that now that the regular session has been concluded and the bill wasn't presented. It will have to wait for a new session. Withdrawal of the bill was a victory for the social organizations over the transnational beneficiaries of the bill, particularly Monsanto. The bill was won, but the bill is still pending as Monsanto and other large corporations wait for a better time. With Mexican elections just months away, they are waiting for a time when the political cost of these measures that harm producers' rights won't have immediate electoral repercussions. As now formulated, the reform would further strengthen the legal underpinnings for pillage that the Mexican Congress has been shaping since the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, began to be negotiated and then went into effect. Now, I want you guys to pay close attention to organizations' names such as NAFTA. The proposed reforms derive directly from the intellectual property agreements contained in Annex 1701.3 of NAFTA. So in 2005, the Monsanto law opened up the door for cultivating genetically modified seed in Mexico. The seed is the property of the same transnational corporations that produce the agricultural chemicals used on the GMOs to their own benefit and the detriment of the food supply, health, and economic well-being of the Mexican people. When the reforms went through the Senate and Chamber Committee, members of the Mexican Congress, with the exception of members of the Party of the Democratic Revolution, tossed caution aside and disregarded the warnings of scientists not paid by the transnationals. They decided to forget that small farmers and native peoples, with their ancestral practices of cultivation, selection, and free interchange of seeds, are the ones who created existing plant varieties and are the real owners of the agrogenetic wealth of the country. Organizations of small farmers declared their opposition because the proposed reforms would deepen the crisis of Mexican agriculture and increase poverty and food dependency, both of which have increased alarmingly under the present administration. The organizations presented a document to the leaders of all factions in the Chamber of Deputies requesting them to send the proposed law back to committee. They demanded that the legislator open up a discussion on the inadvisability of continuing to privatize the means of production of food stuff, given the Mexican government's obligation to uphold the right to food. The right to food was only recently approved as a constitutional reform in Mexico. The United Nations Special Rapporteur for the Right to Food, Oliver D. Scudder, anticipated the debate by stressing the need to strengthen the legal framework to oppose the reform on plant varieties already approved by congressional committee. In the final report of his visit, to Mexico, submitted a few weeks ago, the UN official said that Mexico should approve a law establishing a framework for the right to food, declare a moratorium on planting genetically modified corn, and adopt measures against the monopolization of the production of seeds. In addition, farmers argue that the nation needs community seed banks and decentralized participatory programs to conserve agricultural biodiversity. The organizations are preparing to extend the debate and launch legal action against the bill, such as filing injunctions and claims of unconstitutionality, since Article 27 of the Mexican Constitution protects the genetic diversity of species as part of the national patrimony. Oh, wow. This is deep stuff. I'm putting this one into the room. We're definitely going to listen to a little music, and then I'll get right back to you guys with some more. Hopefully some people will be ready to hop on in and get into the discussion today. That's really what I'm waiting on, because I want to hear from you guys. You guys know the number, 347 347-838-8622. That again is 347-838-8622. Press number one to share your thoughts. And so we want to know what your thoughts are on this particular subject. And so we're going to do that. And we shall be back in a brief moment as soon as we get a great song in here, which is really what I'm waiting on. And as soon as the song loads up on the queue, we can definitely do that. Listen to a little tune here and there. And, yeah, and then we can look at some more great, great articles and great news. And hopefully we can get some callers to chime in and share their thoughts today on this particular topic that we are currently chatting about. Yeah, I see one caller has raised their hand, so I'm going to open up your mic. Your mic is open. Caller, you just pressed button number one, so your mic is open. And maybe they forgot they'll press button number one. I don't know. So, yeah, I guess, well while we wait for everybody to come back to their phones, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a song for a moment, and then we can definitely get right back into this.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. New life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, in a bold world for me, yeah, yeah. Stars, when you shine, you know how I feel. Send out the pine. It's a new day, it's a new life for me.
All right. If you press button number one, your mic is hot now. It's open. So make sure you check in. Caller, your mic is open. Can you hear me? Oh, I don't know what's happening, but the mic is open, so we shall see what we shall see. Again, if you want to share your thoughts, definitely call in 347-838-8622. That's 347-838-8622. I'm opening up your lines. Chef Rob, your line is open.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm a little bit doing something, but I caught the last part of the show. I just walked in. I was kind of busy. And I heard that part, some of the part about the what was going on in Mexico. I'm going to try to get the download the show and listen to the beginning part later. But I really need that. I'm going to get in the chat room in a little while. I'm kind of doing something. But I need you to give me that link. Send it to my foundation website. I need to post that on that site. On my Facebook page. My website ain't finished yet. I had a problem with my credit card, so it's an ongoing problem with that. So with that, man, that was some real good information. And I'm looking forward to you going ahead and throwing some more stuff out there, because that's why I was mentioning the thing about, we were talking about the thing about Monsanto yesterday, and people just don't know how serious that is. I think that all of these conflicts right now, you know, they're fighting over some nonsense. They'd be talking about Monsanto going ahead and having the world at their mercy for food. So you really need to stay on that point. Thanks.
Oh, man, appreciate it. Appreciate that. Yeah, it, like you said, it's one of those definitely overlooked topics. Monsanto has, along with a few other companies, have been trying to really, really dominate that industry and really impact how we eat, which impacts our health. But it also, like you said, it impacts our economics too. For those in the food and services, those who want to get into whatever area in food services that you want to get into, whether it's farming, restaurants, and so on. This is very, very significant, and with the popularity of the culinary arts industry right now, with shows like Hell's Kitchen and so on, you would think that this type of discussion would be more of the norm than some passerby discussion. But as you said, it's very, very significant, especially when we talk about policies and things that are happening in the legal system and laws.
Hold on, Brother Cloud. Let me throw something at you before you go too far, because I want you to go ahead. This going to feed into that and go ahead and show even more of the urgency of this. And people,
yes,
need
sir,
to pay attention. This is going to be, part of a all-out war in a lot of areas. Okay, because you look at how when people go ahead and get more involved and they're watching these cooking shows and the popularity of the culinary arts, you're going to begin to question, okay, well, if I can go ahead and get my materials just straight out the ground, throw them in my place, I'll be all right. Well, you're going to get just stuff from, like, commercial farms and wholesalers, and a lot of people don't have that direct connection to a farm. It's going to open your eyes up, and you're like, okay, I'd spend less money if I had my own farm. They're making it harder for you to go ahead and do that by going ahead and putting in a lot of these silly rules and regulations. And the people who support those rules and regulations are people like Monsanto, with all that lobbyists in Washington. Okay, and as people go ahead and want to eat healthier, people are also going to go ahead and question the quality of the food. You know, hey, look, such and such, so and so. And so being a chef and being in the industry and had relatives who got sick basically off their diet and still don't want to go ahead and change, you know, you'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to try and help as many people as I can, but you also got to look at, wow, what about my health? So it opened, as I go ahead and do stuff in the industry, I started seeing what foods are not healthy, what foods have them bad combinations, like we were talking about. Healthy foods. If these companies are going to go ahead and control the whole thing, it's going to go ahead and make a lot of people mad, because it's going to go ahead and put them into poverty, because you're going to be at the mercy of these corporations. We got to open our eyes up to what the writing's on the wall, and just go ahead and see how many people are actually getting sick, exactly sick, you know, from eating these processed and garbage foods and watermelons with no seeds, stuff like that. So you got to pay attention to it. What is it? You know, what they're doing to the foods, you know, and they can alter that foods. What kind of alterations is it doing to your body? Okay, so that's the bigger question. Thanks. Oh, I'm gonna mute myself for a quick minute. I got to go ahead and finish my lunch.
Oh, man, we appreciate it. There's another caller on here. I just wanted to let you know your mic is open. You press button number one. So we did open up your mic. And so whenever you're ready, you can hop on in. So for now, I'm gonna read one more article that I found out. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. And we'll see what you guys think about it. And this one. Yes, it's Monsanto again, dealing with the Protection Act. And it's dealing with our leader of the free world, you know, Mr. President, Barack Obama. And it says that President Obama has become, according to the writer, the best friend that agribusiness has ever had in the White House. Their words, not mine. He just signed a law that critics are already dubbing the Monsanto Protection Act. The law makes it illegal for a federal judge to issue a court order halting the sale. Now, this is from April 8th of last year, just to let you guys know. Use or distribution of genetically engineered seeds, even if it is proven the seed could be harmful. The law will also limit the U.S. Department of Agriculture's ability to regulate the use of genetically engineered seeds. They call the measure the Monsanto Protection Act because it only benefits the makers of genetically engineered seeds, such as Monsanto. Congress was able to put this horrendous piece of legislation on the books by taking it onto a funding act, tacking it onto a funding act for the USDA and other agencies. If Obama hadn't signed the law, the USDA would have had to cut back on food inspections. Why you should worry about the Monsanto Protection Act? Instead of going into the well-documented dangers of genetically modified foods here, I'll just raise one troubling point. Why would Monsanto and its operatives on Capitol Hill go out of their way to get this law passed if there wasn't something wrong with genetically modified foods? What do those people know that we don't? If GM foods were safe in the first place, they wouldn't need this law. The frightening thing is that signing this law was in keeping with Obama's whole agricultural policy. In spite of Michelle's advocacy for organic food, the Obama administration has been squarely on the side of agribusiness since it took office. Tom Vilsack, who used to ride on Monsanto's corporate jet when he was governor of Iowa, was both appointed and reappointed Secretary of Agriculture by Obama. Vilsack, the media darling, is also a likely choice for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2016. To make matters worse, some observers, including organic food advocate Dr. Joseph McCullough, have organic farming, have alleged that the Department of Homeland Security and the USDA have plans to ban or severely restrict restrict organic farming in the name of food safety. The idea is to prove that organic farming is at risk for terrorist attack, but conventional farming is not. In other words, the Obama administration wants to force genetically engineered food on your family, whether you want it or not. Now, this article was actually written by Orange Agent Orange Zone. It's the name of the group. It's also the name of the the writer. So he's got a code name. But yeah, so we'll go with that. Agent Orange I'm opening up your mic, caller. You just pressed button number one, so I want you to know that your mic is hot if you want to share your thoughts on the article that was just read or whatever you want to chime in on.
Well, righteous brother, and, you know, this is just showing again, you know, I'm manning brother Good God Allah.
Oh, yeah, how you doing, brother Good God Allah?
Righteous brother. What can I call you? Because it's usually Mr. Talk.
Oh, you can. I'm just a cloud.
Oh, Clyde?
No, cloud, like cloud in the skies.
Okay, cloud. Yeah, well, brother, this is all population control. I mean, do you agree with that, my brother? You know, because if the seeds are dirty, these are dirty seeds, then most likelihood they're meant to, you know, cut our life expectancy and, you know, force us, a lot of us, sterile, you know. So, you know, for me, you know, this is just another version of the devil's population control method. Do you believe in population control? Where the devil wants to cut down the numbers?
Oh, yeah. You said, yeah, absolutely. Population control, is that what you were saying?
Of course. That's what I was saying, yes.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that there's no, there isn't any coincidence that a lot of entertainment is actually a reflection of things that's actually happening. Stuff like Purge and Revolution and I can't think of the other one that was real popular, but yeah, I think a lot of these concepts are spawning from reality.
And, you know, we're going to see in the coming, maybe the next 10, 20 years, we're going to see an influx of autism and ADHD and other things, you know, in the children that's coming up, you know, and in turn, if they start giving them medication when they're older and stuff, they're going to sterilize them, because most people in the mental home, they've got sterilized drugs in the mental home, in the drugs that they're giving the people, you know. They're anti-sterile drugs, so they're not going to, if you're, you know, you're not mentally fit, they're going to have to abort their child. So, I mean, just another reason, again, another way, you know, to force us to, you know, all gel, even. You know, because some people may not be able to, you know, hyperactive, you know, personality to go out of control. Because these ain't natural foods that come from the Mother Earth. You see what I'm saying? So they're going to have its own, you have your own behavior, psychology coming from the food, the bad food that we're eating. People can't sit still, lethargic, you know.
That's good stuff, right there. I mean, you're right. I agree. I think it's a ridiculous problem that you know, it's definitely something that we have to, you know, be aware of. It's not something that we could take lightly. And you know, you have to eat to live. A lot, you know, some people live to eat, but you have to eat to live. And I think, you know, we have to be cognizant of what's happening, what's taking place regarding our food, you know, and the powers that be who create a variety of different formats or a variety of different methods to impact us in a variety of different ways, whether it's, you know, dealing with, you know, population control, or whether it's, you know, it's so many other things that, you know, that are in the grand scheme of things. And you have to remember that people who are for profit are not really considering your well-being. You know, I mean, if you needed to be awakening to this reality, just look at everything from the financial market to the housing market to the economy. There are several historical examples and proof in the text that they want to take you. There are people who are trying to take not only your freedom, but literally your life and you know, slow death, fast death, however you choose, we have to be aware of these things. And I think when we look at pesticides, when we look at herbicides and people who attempt to patent, you know, natural things like seeds. I mean, seeds are, you know, are from the earth. So the idea of patenting a seed, you know, that in itself to me just raises a few eyebrows, you know, to patent a seed. And let's not forget the history of patents and how patents, particularly, it should hit home with a lot of us, because so many of us have been lost wealth because of patent rules. Patent rules have you know, industries have been built on patent rules, and fortunes have been lost and squandered because of patent law. So you look at the history of patent law, you know, it all starts to make more sense. And you know, like I said,
it's
a staggering. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say this food affects our people the most, because we can see, since the influx of, you know, since the influx of all this bad food, you know, in the black community, you got heart disease, diabetes, all sorts, all, you know, based on this bad food. I contributed to the bad food, you know. Our people can't handle this. We're very sensitive to this bad food. You shouldn't say more. I feel that the black man, we're more susceptible to this genetically modified food. It would do worse damage to us, because we're natural. You know, we're like that. We're meant to be here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, understandable.
As black people, we need the sun. You know, flowers. We need the sun like that. You know, the devil don't really need the sun too much. The devil don't need the sun. He just needs. He might need a few minutes every day just to stop his depression. But us, we need at least, the black man, on the minimum, we should be having at least 4 hours of sun. And a lot of us ain't getting that. Well, especially Europe. But, you know. And then they say you can secrete it from the foods that we eat, but then the food's not even real anyway. So I think that in the coming times, we're going to have to start learning to fast. If we're going to eat the crap, we've got to give it a time to get out of our system. So maybe we should eat every other day, like the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught. You know, if you eat once every 3 days, you'll live at least over 100. If you can eat once every three days, because we're gonna have to start fasting. Our people are gonna have to learn to stop to fast, especially with
Supreme.
All this bad food, and you know, drink water. Go on, brother.
Supreme, how are you today?
What's going on, Black Beasley?
This is Brown Beasley, Black Beasley. You know, aren't all human beings 99.9 the same genetically? Wouldn't bad food, improper food, probably harm whites, Asians, Hispanics, and blacks the same? Are we all that different?
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm. Are we all that different where we can't make children together or exchange organs with one another or live together in harmony in some situations? Do you really believe that there's that much of a difference between the not only the genetic composition, but the physical composition, and I guess there are some differences, but generally speaking, between blacks, Asians, whites, and Hispanics? Do you really believe that?
there's much more. When the devil says in his sight that we're 99.9% the same as them or other, you know, other species, like, you know, the banana, we're 65% genetically. That's a, it's we've got the same elements in that. But I mean, as far as us being that close to the devil, 99.99%, that's a damn lie. Because we can see by observation alone, it defies science. Because I can see at least five different characteristics that myself and the white man had that are different. With
hair,
I
got a question too.
Tell me those
my
five characteristics. Tell me those five characteristics.
I'm gonna go into them. My
I
hair,
got a question too before you go
texture.
Into that.
My hair's a different texture. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, my hair's a different texture, right? My skin absorbs water faster than theirs. It absorbs water. So when the chemtrails are going down, it's more hitting us. We have to cream our skin because our skin sucks up everything. They don't have to cream their skin because they're naturally greasy.
Well, let me ask a question, too.
Really, the that's
poverty.
Why they the sun. Because the sun is... Go on, let me finish off, though, brother. What else? The bones. The bone structure. It's well known that the black man has heavier bones than the white man. Our bones are more dense than the white man. That's why the devil says that we can't swim. Obviously, we can swim, but... So that's another characteristic, bone structure, bone structure, density in the bones. We got more dynamic muscle than, we got faster twitch muscles than the white man. He's got more slower twitch, meaning that he burns energy faster than we burn energy. Takes us a bit of a while before we start to go into burning off our energy. Like, for example, if you go to the gym with a white man, he's more likely to burn. He'll lose more weight doing the same rigorous stuff as you. He'll lose more weight. And,
well, let me ask you a question about that, Poverty. What about the white side of black people? I mean, you call a white man devil, isn't there just as equal amount of devil in a black person, too? I mean, what we call black person.
And the
because, you know, you got the blacks that's been mixed with whites, and some people say that strengthens the gene pool because what they have that's characteristic to them to the north, and you combine those what you have that's characteristic to those who live on the equator, you fall somewhere in between where one can be adapted to the other's territorial realm.
Well, let me deal with that. That's a goddamn lie. When you're dealing with all the color stuff like that. What you said? What did you say? The first statement you just made.
Well, let me look at this. You know, Derek
you
Jeter
said, no,
is a shortstop for the.
Say the first statement you just made. The first statement you made.
Well, let me give you an example of what I said. Look at Derek Jeter, the shortstop for the New York Yankees. He's a hell of a shortstop, man. He got a black father and a white mother.
Oh, yeah, that's a damn lie. Let me tell you the reason why that's a damn lie. Because it's well known that hybrids or mixed, even in the animal kingdom, they have lower fertility. So mixed race people have lower fertility. I'm not saying they're
infertile.
Oh, my
God, man.
Can be infertile. No, they have a lower fertility rate than the black man. The black man has the highest fertility rate on the planet.
Well, that's not true. What happens? Wait a minute. Let's stop where you are. Because when you take a black Angus cow and mix it with a white black, what we call a Holstein, you end up with what's called a black white face. The meat tastes better. The cow is able to deliver more calves because the hips on the black Angus is narrower than the one on the Holstein. So how do you account for that?
Well, you have to understand how is the meat killed? How is the meat killed? Is it the best beef that you can get is in China?
It ain't got nothing to do with how the meat's killed. It's about how it tastes.
Japan, China, one of those countries, they got this happy beef farm. You see what I'm saying? Where it costs $200 a plate. You see what I'm saying?
So you mean to tell me that
how you kill the, you have to kill the meat rat?
Yeah, but you know, back in the day, you going back millennia, man, black folks used to do some notorious things too. They used to go into other lands and raid and kill and slaughter and so on and so on and so on. That's how you came up with the term Armageddon, right?
What history is that?
That was going back during the time of the Kushites. The Kushites were some mean people, man.
Who did they invade? Who did they invade?
They beat up on the Hittites.
The Hittites.
They beat up on the Hittites.
They needed to get beat up, though. They were invaders. And they, most of the time, when
they went into these lands and done that.
Man,
they went into Avaris. They went into what's now present-day Jordan. That's how they came up with the term Armageddon, ain't it? When Men Kapara to Hootie Mays went in there and just raised hell.
Look. We start seeing the devil turn up after the first intermediate period, around 27
Well, what I'm trying to get at is this, man. Is that you have had times in history when
invasions by blacks and other races.
Listen, I'm not going to get in no argument. I'm just trying to say this, and I'm going to let it go, is that you have times in history when what you call black people have done some notorious things with their military might, just as we see other ethnic groups doing the same thing, whether it was for expansion, imperialism, or defense.
That's a damn lie. Every race on this planet has been wicked than the black group, than our race. Every race has done more wickedness and more death in their per capita for the time they've been on this planet than us. Easily. We never had no slavery and that. None of that.
You gonna say that Ramesh II didn't have Nubians? They fought with the Nubians and captured, and they had them with tethers around their neck and their hands behind their back. You got images of that at the Abu symbol on the side of his statue.
They went to war.
Things that aren't even talked, that I don't even know about.
Though, brother.
But they went to war, man. I'm just telling you that.
It wasn't for no reason.
Regardless of what the reason for, it did happen. I mean, they fought each other.
So what, Yankee? Yeah. If you come to my house and you try to storm in my house and I beat the shit out of you, that what I'm looked upon as wicked. And I might cut off your finger but at the same time, and I'm wicked. But you came in my house. And I've got my family.
You got what's going on now in the Central African Republic. You got so-called Christian, black as Wesley Snipes, that's beating up on so-called Muslims, killing them, cutting them up, stomping their head, and so on and so on and so on. Are we talking about human traits? Now, yes, groups of humans can be influenced by outsiders, but they all can one way or the other.
Can you imagine the carnage that's gone on in Africa in modern times between the Hutus and the Tutsis?
That's because of the devil. That's because of the white boy. That's because of the devil.
You know, there has to be a point in time, Supreme, that people take a little responsibility for what they do. And I'm not saying that Africa hasn't been colonialized and abused, but when large groups of people are running around and attacking people with machetes and killing entire villages, do you know there are over 6 million people killed in the Congo? And I think 2 to 3 million people killed in Rwanda and neighboring countries. At what point does the man that's wielding the machete take some responsibility
for chopping up innocent people because they're from a different tribe. When does one take responsibility for that? And I understand
when,
there's all types of outside sources.
When his ignorance is gone. These guys,
what?
These brothers out there in Africa, they're ignorant. And again, they don't understand the political situation that's going on in their country. Now, we know from the outside that it's the Belgium, the Europeans, who are causing that. He gives you more money for killing in those countries. They're so poor, they'll earn a better wage for killing than anything else.
Let me jump in here. You know, Poverty Supreme, he on his shows, he does the competition, and he rings the bell after every round and all that shit. Really, you could pretty much ring the bell. I mean, you're really not making a lot of sense when you, Tiaki is pretty much, you know, spreading what you're saying to bits. But, you know, it's usually guys that...
Let him finish.
I'll just give you one quick one. When you talked about the characteristics, what you were really... everything that you described had to do with biology and not a characteristic of a human.
But
that's biology.
But that's part of the blood.
Now, so, and then what Tiaki said was, now you're talking about
I want to tell you, Harry, would you let the man talk?
Yeah. The characteristics of what, you know, what humans will do, the bad side of humans, and you're absolutely right. There's plenty of history that all races have done some wicked things. And I think why the attention may be on the European at this point, because he does seem to have a foothold, you know, on humanity right now. So, of course, the attention would be on him. But what other races have done in the past is, you would have to say, within those times, they were probably just as bad as what the European is doing now. Again, you're just living now under the foot of the European. But if you were living back then, they would probably have the same argument as you. Some of them might call the Nubians for what they've done devils. So this is the sandbox argument, right, for immature Africans talking about the devil, his adjectives and things in there. That's because you ain't doing shit. So we revert back to throwing sand in the sandbox. I mean, at some point, man, you got to cut it out. And, you know, let's talk intelligently about where we're going to go from here. Where does that happen?
Supreme, you also have to understand
Let me say this. I'm not attacking you.
Just listen to what I'm saying real quick. Just let me say this real quick. Pianchi's a man of a certain age. He's older than me, I'm sure. I'm a man of a certain age. Mr. Michigan is a man of a certain age, okay? And I'm assuming he's 45 plus. This ideology that you speak of, we're all familiar with it. The Nation of Islam and their ideology and what they speak of is nothing new to any of this. This was very popular. All of us have probably read and explored it, and we see some good things in the Nation. But like any other religious dogma, it doesn't hold true to science. It's intended to appeal to people and hit their emotional cords. And people buy into stuff that really doesn't stand up to any type of scientific scrutiny.
Right.
It's a religious dogma. You can't take, Elijah Muhammad said that a rat, a cat, and a dog equals a pig. That's what a pig is. He also said that man was created, or the white man was created, he was grafted on an island of Patmos. From a wicked, evil scientist named Yakub.
The Minoans.
Yeah, that's religious dogma.
Yeah, you say all black people are Asian.
We're familiar with this. You're a younger man, and if this works for you, fine. But you're going to find, once you open your mind, that this religious dogma that you believe so strongly, it's not going to be able to stand up to some real scrutiny.
You're just talking all over me, and this brother's there running his mouth. Now hear what I'm saying now, brother, because you there talking. Now this is the problem with the world, as All Facts were saying. I have to take coin that phrase as well. You brothers are the problem with the world, because you had them teachings there. And you lot are still in America, still talking about what we can do, and you're telling me about solutions, and you're an old-ass man. This is the problem.
We're falling down the wormhole right now. I mean, we started off talking about GMOs, pesticides, herbicides. I don't know how we hopped into the rabbit hole. I hope we can get back on topic.
Yeah, we definitely gonna get back on topic. I just because I have some comments on the GMOs.
Yeah, listen, the argument, how it all started is because I said that the food, the genetically modified food, and all the chemicals they're putting up in the air is doing more damage to us than it is doing to the other races, which is fact. Right? This guy wants to come and say that Pianchi blew up what I said, and it was to try to say that we've invaded other places, and he's talking about the struggle between
Monsanto people devils, man. Come on now.
They are the fucking devil. They are the fucking devil.
They might be the devil, and they might
be the
devil.
Can I say something?
And this Mr. Michigan, he's up here talking, running. It's rubble. To say,
I just wanted to make some comments.
No matter how calm someone talks, you get agitated.
And you want to try and put down the younger man. This is the problem, because you that was sitting up there send your grandkids and your children to the fucking white man's school. This is the fucking problem. Men like you, you're the fucking problem with the world.
It's not new, man.
Pianchi's a damn capitalist.
I'm trying to tell them this. We've heard this and know it.
I ain't looking to be here when I hit 40. Let's get that straight. I'm out of here once I hit 40. I'm making it. The only thing that's going to stop me is if the devil wants to try to jail me or whatever. I don't give a fuck. You see what I'm saying? But I'm out of here by the time I hit 40, bro. But you old men, you lot are still in America talking about the same thing you lot said 20 years ago.
You're in London. The Africans over in London are in the same position we are. So what are you talking about?
As
a matter of fact, you have more Pan-Africans in America than you do in London. So what are you talking about? You're in the same position as us, brother. What are you talking about?
You got to pay for your TV. We get a TV free here.
I'm not talking about anyone else.
I couldn't believe that.
Yes, the London is invading. I'm here because I heard, Pianchi, what is the TV license got to do with the price of fish?
What?
It was a joke.
But what I'm saying to you is a fact is how much fish we use over here. What has that got to do with the price of fish?
What is Africa doing in London? What has it got to do with the price of fish? Is that what
right.
you said?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because poverty calls itself, poverty supreme calls itself assessing the African in America and what he's not doing and what he is doing.
I'll tell you what it has to do with the price of fish. The African that was born in Africa.
I would like to make a comment. I've been on the show for like 15 minutes.
I can only hear one at a time. Go on, Yonkey.
I just want to make a comment.
Let me say this. The African that was born in Africa, whose mother carried him or her for 9 months, when she went through the pain to birth him, that child, then she done what she had to do to feed that child, to dress that child, and to protect that child, and to educate that child, and all that she invested in that child is now in London, empowering London, whereas the village where that child came from is still in poverty.
I would like to make my comments. Well, first of all, I think with they were trying to say Supreme, and I'm not as old as these gentlemen, but I've heard the same concept that you were talking about. And, you know, you can speak your beliefs. There's no problem. But to me, it's stagnation. With the genome that we just, science has just broken the genome code, we can prove that 10,000 years ago there were no blue-eyed people on this planet. Now, if you go against that, I guess you'll go against the DNA test. It's the same type of science, same type of measurement. And what Pianchi was saying, they even have hieroglyphs, sculptures of the war against the Egyptians, the Kush and the Hittites. What I'm saying is it was chaos and war back in ancient time. And human beings, whether they were no blue-eyed people in this world, mankind still went to war with each other. That's what we're trying to get to you. So despite that, okay, we understand that people have their power now, but how people deal with each other, how people try to have power over one another, it really doesn't come down to race. When you go to certain tribes in Africa before the white man came, tribes was fighting against each other. That's why you have a different sexes. But about this man, Santos, it's amazing because in Washington State, the voters actually voted whether or not if they go to the market or the grocery store, that the food that they will be buying will be labeled GMOs or not. The voters had it on the ballot, and they went against it. And you bring up very interesting points. I didn't know Obama just signed that bill saying if something was illegal, but it's like, you know, legalizing drugs. If they know that a company is selling something that's going to harm people and that you can't sue them, I mean, they might as well legalize illegal drugs then. What is the difference? I mean, you think about it. If you got your kids eating something that may cause them or hurt them, what is the difference? See, it's a contradiction in our society when we're talking about these GMOs. But I just say it is what it is. But it's amazing. See, when they created Agent Orange, when they sprayed it on the plant, the hormone, it made the plant grow, but if you spray too much of it, it's going to die. So when you talk about chemistry, it's just the balance of it to make something to the outcome. If you give something too much, it's too little, it's going to have a different result. But through that process, all of the food that we manufacture in this country, we throw half of the food away. From all the meat, the vegetables, anything, we throw half of the food away. From it goes to the grocery store. People don't buy it; it spoils and everything. So, it's crazy. I don't know why they're trying to, manufacture food more abundantly when we throw it away. So it's just an iffy thing, and it's politics. And you have to realize, scientists, even though they may have their theories, they debate those theories. And it's just like politics. It's the same thing. So you have scientists debating against each other whether something is healthy, something is not healthy. They say, well, just because it affects a rat, that doesn't mean that we don't have studies saying it affects humans. So they go back and forth. So it's politics. So each of us have to keep abreast, and we just have to watch what we eat. That's all I wanted to say.
you going to say, Devon?
No, I only came on to basically just let Supreme know. What it is, Supreme, you've got to understand. I hear what you're saying, and I receive what you're saying loud and clear. But you see, when you're coming off and you're saying devils, not everybody's going to take it in the way that you intend for it to be taken. So bear that in mind when you're using the terminology devils. We all know what you mean, but nobody's going to take it in the way that you're saying it or the way your intentions are saying it. And also, Supreme, you've got to understand as well, Americans do not think like us. The blacks over here in the UK, remember, 9 times out of 10, we go back home at a certain age. They don't. America's their home. That's how they see it. That's their home. That's their land. We don't see England like that. This is not our homeland. We're here for a temporary amount of time, and then retirement age, we're out. Even before retirement age, they don't have that thought process, Supreme, to also when you're, you know what I mean? They don't think like how we do. They will live and die for America, where we're not doing that for no foreign country. So bear that in mind as well, right? That's all. I'm done.
Africans had fought for France. France used Senegalese soldiers. They do die. They do fight and die for European countries.
Right.
That's a fact. You got Senegalese. You had the same problem with the Ghanaians when the British came in and their Independence Square, how they killed the soldiers who were just marching for pensions after they had fought with the UK. So that's not true. You do fight and die for European countries. Very much
right.
So.
And and to each his own, but you have to realize there is a military defending you. Even though you're in that country, I mean, you say that's not your country, but some people go to a country to say, I want to go to this country to be prosperous and become a citizen. And then they say they're going to go back home. That's why I have a problem with this pan-African as a black American, because I know right now, us as black and American, by this history, we made a political move in this country that other black people around the country in Africa had to fight for in the 19th century with our civil rights. People may say it was bored, downgrade. No, that was a powerful political move. It is what it is. So I'm just saying within this country, our black Americans in this country, we have politics that we have to do here first, then branch out.
Let me jump
because everything boils down to politics.
Well, this is where I would take a little issue with AFAS, because I do believe in Pan-Africanism. I don't know much about London as far as you guys are migrating back to the continent. If that's true, that's to be commended. So I would agree with the sister that, for the most part, the African-American, he does think he's an American. He is joined at the hip with the European, and that's unfortunate. But she is correct on that, and it can, the facts bear that out. So to her, she is correct.
But All Facts already knows this. We've already spoken on many shows about this, and I've explained this to him amount of times. He knows this, so I don't understand why he's playing like he hasn't heard this before.
No, I never thought you were pan-African.
All Facts, you never heard me say anything about being a pan-African.
You know pan-African either. Yeah.
Hold on,
you get it twisted again, all I'm saying to you is we have a different mindset. That's all I'm saying to you. I never said nothing about being a pan-African.
Okay, hold on.
I ain't no
Divine
African
Queen,
either.
Hold on. Listen. Okay. Divine Queen, before 5 minutes ago, I never visualized you're one day leaving London at certain, quote unquote, 40 years old, and you're going back. I never knew that you had that about yourself. Okay, so I'm learning today. I didn't know that previously. I mean,
you got to understand is that when I was younger, when I used to go to Jamaica on holiday, my mother and father were born in the UK. I was born in the UK. My daughter was born in the UK. But when I got taken to Jamaica with my grandparents when I was younger, they used to always call it back home. We're going back home. So my mindset was, at any time I get stopped by the police or I get asked by a teacher, where are you from? I always say, I'm from Britain. I was born in London. I was born up in Manchester, whatever. They say, no, where are you born? I say, I'm born in the UK. They want to know my origin. So I say, I'm from Jamaica. My family are from Jamaica, my grandparents. That's what they really want to know. You see what I'm trying to say? They already made me know. Out here.
Let me jump in there, poverty into the sister also. But that really.
And bro, you keep on fighting me though.
I heard you.
That's disrespect.
Yeah.
You keep fighting. You keep cutting.
I keep cutting.
And that's what disrespectful, man. Yeah, you keep cutting.
Calm down.
I cut you off.
Well, hell, Parvati, you called him all out his name, using curse words and so forth. This is the elder.
No, it's only because the brother was.
Well, I don't get no excuses why you done it. You done it.
Yeah, but he's trying to say that I'm childish, and this is a big man thing. The white man.
Well,
I can say
you do act childish.
Excuse me, gentlemen, can I hear the host, please?
Yeah.
Please, can I hear the host? Thank you.
Yeah, the ignorance of what Pan-Africanism is, I mean, you hear it all the time, but even the sister and poverty. Now, so poverty, you say you're going home. Where is that at? Jamaica?
Well, I know that Jamaica ain't really my home neither. I didn't know that, but I know when I'm looking to retire. Hold on, brother. They ain't my home. They ain't my homeland. It ain't my homeland. I only understand history. Hold on, brother. I know my homeland's in Africa, but hold on, brother.
Okay.
I know that's my real homeland. This is my adopted home. But hold on, brother. When I retire, I'm not going back to Africa. I'm going to the Caribbean. I'm either going to Dominica where my family is from. Hold on, brother. When I retire, I'm going to Africa.
Yeah, that's not going to work. So, back to the topic, because this can go on forever. So, like we were saying, the topic is we're talking about, you know, GMOs, pesticides, herbicides, you know, healthy living, healthy eating, not trying to get it, attack each other who looks exactly like each other. I have no idea how. Wow.
But you know what, Cloud,
took place in the first place?
Looking at this, there's 20 states that require GE labeling, which I agree with. I think that a person have a right to know what they're eating, just like when you watch a TV and a movie is getting ready to come on, there's a label, whether it's for general audience or whether it's parental guidance or so forth. You got a right to know what it is that you're about to watch on TV, so you don't have to all of a sudden jump up and run across the room and put your hands in front of your kid's eyes. So, yes, people should know what it is they eat and where it came from, where it derived from.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, they already have certain products, and the argument is, and I'm just throwing out the argument, is that, okay, you have to label the ingredients. Now, I know the ingredients are long words, but a person can look it up and see what it actually is, if it's real or synthetic or it's adulterated. It is what it is. But like I said, they try to, I don't know if that's the ingredients, but actually going to the supermarket and having a tag in front of the item so it's out and clear. That's what they were trying to pass. So... what does that mean?
And I've seen some, I've watched some.
Well, no, hold on. Someone asked me, what does that mean? That means factually, that we're talking politics.
Why did
now.
You say
we're
factually?
Talking about, well, you asked me, what does that mean? You think I'm talking in circles. So let me get to my.
I didn't say that. Just sometimes you say factually just to be saying
No, you asked me, what did I said everything. You asked me, what did I mean? Like you didn't get my concept. We're talking about politics, and a group of individuals in our country politically voted on GMOs. So we're talking about the concept of the people. Duh.
And, you know, the reason why is because in my lifetime, I have seen the introduction of certain food stuff, saccharin and sweeteners, and at one point in history, then 10 to 15 years down the line, they all of a sudden pulling these off the shelf because they say they cause cancer when they are introduced to certain animals and tests under regulated tests. Heck, Wonder Bread used to build 12. How many muscles they used to build and so on. So now they don't use those sand anymore. You used to say you need to have 4 meals a day. My goodness. So in my lifetime, I have seen companies, I have seen advertising, I have seen marketing that says some very outlandish things in order to pull people toward their products, thinking that everything was very, very nice. And as time went by, they had to come out with public announcements and rebut those statements, and sometimes what they said was good actually turned out to be harmful.
Right.
Wow, that's the most point
we had. How do we connect this conversation specifically to, I would assume that's what your intent is to connect this issue to the black community and the politics of the black community. How do we connect the dots?
Who's doing that? I'm not doing that. Everybody else is eating, just not black people eat GMOs.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody eating
really
them. I mean, that's not for me. Who are you saying that? It's Cloud, are you trying to do that today?
Yeah. Okay.
This is a general topic.
Well,
I mean.
Okay. Well, that's, wait a minute, all facts. I have no problem with that. I have no problem at all with that. But I just, when he, the articles he read, for instance, like the political action of the Mexican farmers, right?
Uh-huh.
So you see the Mexican farmers organizing themselves, doing the pushback against the GMO. Now, he read the article. So you're saying this conversation is just general conversation, just to have general conversation? Is that what you're doing?
No, they're talking about the ramifications of GMOs.
Yeah, it's
right.
Yeah, we're dealing with healthy eating, healthy living. So we're trying to look at the broader spectrum of
Mexican
eating right,
farmers,
living right.
Mexican farmers probably have been following some of the incidents that happened up north, where a farmer who was planting, you know, non-GMO foods, all of a sudden a patch in his acreage started growing, you know, foods growing a species that was patented by Monsanto. And Monsanto comes in and sues the hell out of him, and he damn near lose the farm. In some cases, they do lose the farm in legal battles. So I don't blame the Mexican farmers. I wouldn't want to be going through all that either.
Just think about this.
How insane is it for a corporation to have a patent on foods?
Well, not natural food. They can't have a patent on natural food, but of course, if they're making it in synthetic, of course they can have a patent on it. If they produce it,
yes, they can, because some of these species can't have a patent on natural foods.
You can't have
some of these species would take over and overrun, man. I mean, it's just like a virus or something. The things that you was eating before pre-GMO will be overran and damn near put out of existence. All of a sudden, all you can do is just go back to Monsanto
right.
all the time.
No,
so
right,
I disagree.
Pianki, I agree with you, but I'm just answering your point is about how can people have a patent.
Hello.
And the only way they can have a patent is
hello.
When they do GMO
process. Hello. All facts. You hear me?
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear.
They have a patent on the seeds, all facts, okay? That means they have a patent on those foods, every fucking aspect of it, okay? They have a patent on that. Monsanto
no, hold on. I know they do.
Yes,
right,
they
because
do,
they're
all
genetically,
facts.
Because they're using scientists,
no,
but I'm saying they can't have patents on how to grow tomatoes out your garden. Hold on.
Yes, they do, all facts. They have a patent on the seeds, which means they have a patent on what that seed grows. Do you understand that?
Okay, now, can you choose the seed that you buy?
All facts.
Yes, you can.
They will go ahead and put a lot of these seed
no,
companies
No, I'm talking
out.
About you personally.
Listen,
you're not paying
attention to the bigger picture. Hold on. I listen to you. Pay attention. Learn something now. They have a patent on these seeds, and a lot of these other seed companies, they're making it illegal for you to go ahead and grow your own seed.
So how do people make organic food?
And they're terraforming the soil as well.
How do people make organic food? If you wanted to start your garden, you're not going to use their seeds. How are you going to get your seeds, Chef Rob? How are you going to get your seeds to grow your garden?
Can I speak now? About
the organic
seeds,
that's the problem with going ahead and dealing with the getting their seeds, because some of their stuff have been, their stuff have been genetically altered, because all the Monsanto farms are close to theirs, and they stuff flow to the organic farms and make a new hybrid seed. They're all facts, and these Monsanto can read the genetic code from these seeds, from whatever
okay.
plant.
So how can I grow my food without having Monsanto's seeds?
Can I explain that one to you?
They'll get overrun, bro.
Do I have an option to avoid their seeds, Chef Rob?
I can hear a lady trying to speak. You have an option.
Thank you. That's all I need to know.
Well, all facts, if you planted... If you're growing an organic crop,
you're not a lady trying to speak.
Can I speak? Monsanto seeds did not reseed itself. If you have seeds, if you saved them when Monsanto was coming out, and you have your own seeds that reseed your food, that's the only thing different. And also, some countries have banned his seeds. So that means we get our food everywhere.
Exactly.
So
you got natural seeds, right? Exactly,
mate. Not do Monsanto. You won't
tell the whole story.
But what happens, Maze, is that if you got crops that's grown by Monsanto's seeds, and if they blow over into your organic garden or your organic crops, it would sterilize your seeds where it would be. I mean, it won't do nothing.
Exactly.
So all you got now is Monsanto seeds.
Everybody don't grow them in the ground. They found ways so it don't have to grow and blow nowhere. If it's above the ground, it can't blow and grow.
So you're saying all the seeds in the world are Monsanto?
Well, they don't know that.
Because they have banned some of them. And if you give people
what is the percentage of seeds in the world right now that are genetically modified? We got to find that out.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are not spreading facts.
Genetically modified.
Go eat your genetically modified food.
Because most of our food don't come from here anyway. It's from everywhere. Look, the next time you go in the grocery store, just look and see where your fruit and vegetables are coming from.
Genetically modified, man.
And so it's
now
coming
foods,
from maize.
It takes 170. But even when you eat the organic food, it's like 170 different pesticides they have to put on it just to keep pests off of it. If you grow an organic plant and you ain't putting lots of chemicals on them, yeah, they're going to get eaten up by the pests because they ain't got nothing else to eat. The little microscopic flies and stuff, we just eat it up. You just see lots of holes in it because they ain't got
nothing else to eat.
If you know how to plant a garden.
Right, there's ways to plant gardens, right, where the natural bugs and that would take care of the other ones and so on.
Okay. He's saying that I don't know how to farm. I know how to farm, sister.
No, what he's
Trust
saying is that the ones
farm.
That of us that don't know, we need to go and research it. That's what you're saying, correct, Pianchi?
Well, yes, there's a way. I mean, I believe it or not, you could plant corn, and then if you want to have a natural way of defending the corn from its known pest, then you plant another crop that attracts insects that eat the aphids, for instance, that would go over on the corn and mess up the corn. So that is a science to that has been going on for millennia, ever since the mankind, and they do it very well.
Okay.
Corn is a detoxer, is a soil detoxifier. It sucks up all the crap from the ground. Really, you shouldn't even eat corn. Corn is meant to be draw out the stuff out of the bad chemicals and all the crap out of the soil. So that's more used to regenerate your soil if you want it to be good at another harvest.
And that's what seeds does too. The seed regenerates itself. Monsanto seeds don't regenerate. Monsanto.
I just placed in the chat room a list of all the GMO the Monsanto companies that sell seeds.
What about the ones that banned Monsanto's out of their country, and then we still get their vegetables?
They got a right to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is,
go and purchase it.
in America's treaty,
when
America signed, when you sign a treaty with the United States, you got all these different stipulations and clauses, and you adhere to this, you adhere to that, and so on and so on and so on, which include the introduction of Monsanto and other companies in the United States that produce the GMO products.
So
hold
Yankee,
up. Let me ask you
Uncle
something
Sam
now.
Ain't the devil, hold on, let me just finish this. If Uncle Sam ain't the devil, right, why would he go inside your country and tell you to you, he's borrowing you money, but you've got to change your seeds and how you grow your crops. And
well,
you
Uncle Sam,
Uncle Sam
may be a devil, but the officials in those countries that agree with that is just as much a devil also when the people don't want to do that.
I want you to show. Listen. I'm gonna tell you something. When they have these fish farms, that's still GMOs. They have their
no,
little fish farms. They
no, they not. No, they
oh,
not.
Hold on. Can I make my point, and then y'all can attack? I'm speaking.
Well, we correct you on that point. Go ahead.
Okay. Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Listen to me. Don't contradict yourself just because you like doing it and get money and people doing it. I said,
man, go ahead. Say what you're gonna say.
Can I finish? I mean, you just cut me off. Let me be me. Listen to me. It's GMOs. Over in Asia, they have shrimp ponds, shrimp that's grown in the mud, and that's why your shrimp, when you go to get your egg, shrimp fried rice from the Chinese, that's why the shrimp are so cheap, and it's cheaper than the grocery store. It's caught wild shrimp. Gulf shrimp, caught wild shrimp, is higher because it's fresh.
Gulf shrimp?
I'm not finished. I'll give you a test. Go
actually,
and look at your salmon. Go get your salmon. I will never eat pink colored salmon again. I will always eat wild caught salmon. Wild caught salmon, the red, the meat is red. It's real. It's caught wild. When you go all in our grocery store, this pink salmon, no, it's farmed. It's genetically modified. Factually, it's not natural. Bottom line,
what happened with them?
So it's no different. Just because Dr. Claude Anderson is in that business, that doesn't make it right. Factually, it's genetically modified. You can't do it. Natural is natural. See, you're contradicting yourself. Because
Claude
man
Anderson
is
don't,
his
don't raise
in
family.
To make
raise
a lot
philosophy.
Of money. And the reason why they, listen, and the reason why they genetically modify that salmon is because our demand as Americans on salmon, they cannot catch that wild-caught salmon like that because, it's, you know, it comes in cycles and by nature. For our demand, no, we can't support it. So they have to go ahead and
farm it.
Well,
let me ask you a question,
like
off
fast food restaurants.
What happened? What happened when a genetically modified salmon meets up with a natural salmon and have babies?
Thank you.
I don't know about that, but I guarantee you that genetically modified salmon is bigger. And they guess what? It says they have
what happens
to
when a genetically modified
salmon
meet up with a natural one and have babies?
White. That salmon meat comes out white,
they
not
begin
red,
to wipe
and they have to add pink.
Know,
they
but
add
I've
color to it. When you go to the market, that is a factual. So it's still genetically modified. What is the dye? What is the pink dye in your salmon? When they farm,
I don't understand the whole point.
Farm raise that salmon. That salmon meat is white, and they add pink color to it.
I really don't understand why you pointed that out, Offex. I really don't.
No.
Yes, Queen.
No, I'm saying this. I'm just saying this.
Hold on for a second. You got a lady trying to get a point across.
See, they think all facts. Listen, they think all facts talk in circles, but listen,
you know,
they understand
you know,
me right
now,
well.
If you just say what you said and still trying to promote yourself and market yourself, the conversation would go a lot quicker. It's a lady trying to get something in.
Yes, let the lady speak.
Oh, thank you. I don't know this, so I would like for someone to explain to me what does happen when the two does mix, because I don't know this at all. This is a learning
thing. Actually, don't nobody know.
Oh,
that's the whole point.
Right.
That's the whole point why people want to have these foods labeled, because as I mentioned earlier, and Mays know it, when we was kids coming up, we heard how good something was. Then as 10 years come by, all of a sudden it's poisonous for you. So you don't know, and people don't want to take a chance.
Let me explain something to Pianki. My uncle told me years ago to save your seeds so they can reseed themselves and you can always feed yourself. When Santos came, do not reseed. So if you have old seeds that you saved that reseeded themselves, you are doing good because you don't have to plant it in the ground.
So Mace, just like Pianki said, what happens when those seeds meet up with the seeds like your uncle planted?
Saying if they don't touch the ground, they don't meet up.
Because
that
they
means,
just look.
And then it's just like, it happens like this, Chef Rob. If you got countries where your food is coming from and they ban Santos, don't have it there anymore, and they send that same food into your country, which one would you go back?
I'm going to try and buy which is safer.
The country that's not dealing with him or the country that is?
Which one is safer? Because I'm going to do my homework. Because
you get your fish. You don't even get your fish that you have from here. Read the package and see where your fish and everything else is coming from. Somebody else's country.
Let me finish. Hold on. Wait a minute, Poverty. Hold on. So, you know, a lot of times when you go ahead, you got plants. And these two, that Monsanto seed and your uncle seed growing at the same rate. So what happens is a lot of times they blossom a flower. What flies out of that flower, you don't know what it's going to go ahead and do. So if that flower, each flower go ahead and mix their pollen, what is going to be the result? So if the Monsanto seed don't go ahead and regenerate. So but your uncle seed go ahead and your uncle plants, it's going to go ahead and create another seed. What kind of plant would that be, then, Mace?
I don't know.
What kind of plant it's going to be. If it's not touching, it wouldn't be no plant. It's
Rob, let me ask you a question.
It will regrow the next season, and the Monsanto seed won't. You got to replant it.
But see, you just missed it. Just like if we go ahead and talk.
Let me ask you a question, Rob, because you know more about this than I do. Now, if you a farmer, if Monsanto come over and find some crops growing with their blueprint in it, they can sue you because you don't have a license to grow it. But what happens?
When your body goes
they can sue you, but because of this bill that Obama just
that
signed,
Obama.
You can't sue
wrong.
Them. Well, Congress just signed. Well, whoever signed it, Congress just signed, permitted this bill to go through, whereas Monsanto is immune from law. No, that was Obama administration when they became immune.
Yes, it was, man.
All right.
Come on, man.
No, it was not.
Well, Mace, he didn't veto it. He signed it into law. He didn't protest it, Mace. Come on now.
So you look at it and see where that Monsanto came from.
Okay.
Monsanto has been there.
Thank you, Mace, for your comments.
Pianki can't be biased, Chef, and Pianki, you can't be biased on the fish. You know that salmon
is where they get their fish from. You get it from Alaska, you get it from China, you get it from all different places. And look at all that oil in them fields and everything that you're getting from in the seeds and different things that you got.
Let me deal with something real quick. In the Gulf, because all facts mentioned, go ahead and get your shrimp from the Gulf. Let me finish. So talk about getting your shrimp from the Gulf. The Gulf isn't as safe as you think with the oil spills.
None of them are.
But
hold
so the Gulf. No. You can do your research. You all facts. Remember, do your research. The all facts has in the Gulf of Mexico here. They have pockets where fish go ahead and go swim through that. A certain dose of carbon dioxide is killing the fish. They got a lot of dead zones down there. All facts. So that stuff isn't as safe. It's a lot of stuff floating through.
I was just talking about you know.
So when you talking about getting your shrimp from, you talk about getting your shrimp from China. Okay, and they got shrimp in the Gulf. The shrimp in China. Almost all the you're getting a lot of stuff coming from China. I give you that, but it's not the shrimp is not so much coming from that area. But they don't have as many rules and regulations as they do when they go ahead and deal with the FDA. Even the FDA is playing the game. A lot of shrimp is not just coming from China. It's coming from the Philippines, Thailand, and a couple of
Let's
and
talk
so
about
the regulations,
farm fishing.
Hold on. You're not getting the point here. So the regulations is higher for some areas than it is in others. Okay, but it still comes down to common sense. Try to go ahead and get what you can. You can't go ahead and grow your own shrimp in your backyard. It's a little bit simpler than you think.
How can you say farm fishing is not genetically modified food? What do they see?
Okay, yes, I can.
They don't see them.
Hold on, Pianki. Hold on. There are a lot of
what is the feed of this feed? It's not natural.
Hold on.
Why are you eating?
It's organic feed.
Will you wait? You're only partially right, all facts. You're only partially right. So there are some places that are owned by GMOs, but there are a lot of private places that popped up. And you need to go ahead and look at the industry. That's the same thing I'm getting involved in.
Now, listen to me. Hold on, okay, you're being biased scientifically, like a vegetarian eating their dog food and cat food, they're contradicting themselves, and you can't be biased. That's all I'm saying. You cannot deny it. Farming fish is genetically modified food.
No, it's not. Those fish are not genetically modified. If they did, they wouldn't have a label on them. Go ahead.
They're cloning fish.
No. Listen, when I buy fresh caught salmon, it's about $14.99 a pound. Good stuff. Good stuff. $14.99 a pound. When I go to the other grocery stores, I want to buy the cheap, you know, where the fish are born white meat, and then they add pink dye to it and sell it to me as salmon. I got to pay, what, nine something?
Well, that's okay, illegal itself.
Wait, hold on.
No, it's not.
So, listen, a lot of these fish farms, a lot of these restaurants, they got fish farms too,
because, listen, as Dr. Paul Anson said, he manufactures fish so he can supply his restaurants because he's manufacturing. He can make more money, like Bianca said, so he has to modify his food.
So who, again, who was at the root of, listen, who is at the root of going ahead and providing those genetically modified foods? Who's developing those chemicals? Hold on. Who's developing those chemicals to go ahead to alter the fish? Who's doing the research in the lab to go ahead and do this? Who's doing that?
Uncle Sam.
No, scientists, money makers.
Who do they work for? Who do they work for? Who's paying their checks and their salaries, putting out the money for the research?
Monsanto
is the top one. So if you want to go ahead, this conversation is supposed to be about that group. Keep it on that group.
They're headquartered here in St. Louis. Man, look, Ross and Perino used to have a farm west of St. Louis, and people say that they was experimenting with chickens that were 4 foot tall. Now, I never seen them.
Couple of pennies here on
but these
damage.
Folks swear to it, man.
All right.
And when you saw a 4 foot tall chicken and you saw it in the store, would you buy it?
Hell no.
Well, thank you. And you
I wouldn't want to see it coming down the street neither.
I've seen one. And it wasn't
got chickens
so
that don't have
either.
No feathers, that grow without feathers on them.
Yeah.
Would you eat that?
We had those in the Sun newspaper in the UK. They were showing a lot of the chickens with two heads and 5 feet, and it looked horrible. It really does look disgusting.
So the genetically engineered foods are all around you. The question is what do you do about it? You just go ahead and give up?
No, that's not the answer.
No. I'm a big advocate for growing your own stuff. You can grow a whole lot of stuff. And Maze know that. Everybody knows on
that.
His line. And you keep on saying that,
yeah,
Maze.
You can grow. That's about the only thing.
A lot of people do.
I got three cans of seeds in there in my room. Now I gave one to my daughter that I ordered. That's supposed to be certified genetically, not unmodified seeds.
So, Maze, what would be the best vegetable to go ahead and grow? What do you think you're going to make a profit off of, Maze?
You could grow some tomatoes. What most people eat, some cucumbers, carrots, and onions.
Maze, let me stop you right there. I brought
a carrot itself is genetically modified because the original carrot is white, not orange.
True.
Hold on. Not orange.
I brought that, I brought that idea up. And I was ridiculed. But when you talk about going ahead and growing tomatoes, there's a whole lot of stuff you can do with tomatoes. You people eat ketchup, tomato sauce. You go ahead and put it in your different pasta dishes. You can do a lot of stuff with it. A lot of people like pizza. So growing tomatoes, is that a good idea, Maze?
That's what I said. Yes, it is.
I want to go ahead and keep saying it.
But, Maze, here's the point.
You can can
here's
it
the
and,
point,
Maze. For a long time.
You yourself, Maze,
apples,
know
pears.
That the tomatoes that you taste today does not taste like the ones you took taste when you was a child.
Nothing tastes like I taste when I was a child, not even the sugar.
Right.
And the chickens does not taste like the chickens we taste when we was coming up.
Maze talked about getting some sugar.
They don't look like the chickens you did when you were coming up because they don't
that's
look
why
like
I see. That's why I
and
see.
And the meat is not like it used to be.
The oldie brothers. You look around when all this was coming down the pipe. Why I say y'all dropped the ball? Because now with my
man, generation, we didn't drop no ball. We didn't have no control over that stuff.
Because it came down in your time when it came down when you was a grown ass man. This came down the pipe. You should have been aware of this. But no, this is we're dealing with a more sophisticated black
when
man
I,
today.
When it came down the pipe, I was hard headed just like you are now.
Great. I hear, to be honest, I do hear what, I do hear Supreme's, what he's saying. What I think he's trying to say is a lot of the stuff was inevitable when you lot were younger. So why did you lot not, as the older generation, try to not prevent
it? No, we didn't know that. We didn't know that.
Younger,
that information
right,
wouldn't.
They didn't have right.
No,
like
I'm just saying that's what I'm understanding from him. Is
well,
that correct?
See, the point is. Yeah, the point is, we didn't have mediums like we do today. Heck, we had the type letters back then. We didn't have no internet with word processors and all that stuff.
And they didn't have rights either to do it, because they were going to be the person that was planting the gardens. And when they put people out of the gardens and took the grocery stores over, that's when everything happened.
You know what I use for insecticide for my garden? I used to take chewing tobacco and soak it in water, and I'd take that water and put it in a sprayer and spray it on my plant. I used to get cheap bulk soap, liquid soap, and mix that in water and spray it on my plants because the bugs didn't like it. The bugs don't like the taste of chewing tobacco, water, juice neither.
Pianchi, I learned something. Say that again. Write that shit.
Damn, boy. When I used to fertilize my plants with, I used to get ammonia, household ammonia, and mix it with water. Plants, tomatoes come out like overnight, seemed like.
You know what? I saw a book on those natural insecticides and pesticides, whatever, and I never did get it. And now I need to go ahead and get that book.
Oh, you sure do.
Yeah.
I tell you, a person that's good on that, his name is Jerry Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Baker, he's very good on that. I used to go outside in the spring, early spring, and roll up a newspaper and beat the trunk of my ornamental trees. People look at me like I'm crazy. Why?
Okay,
because
okay, wait,
stimulate them.
Hold on. What kind of tree is that?
I used to take newspaper or some cardboard and wrap it up and go outside and beat the trunk of my ornamental trees.
But what is that's the part
I don't
even
know what tree that is.
Thank you. What kind of tree is that, brother?
Ornamental trees are you know, like my Japanese maple and my Colorado spruce, my you know. I've got a Norwegian elm in the backyard.
See, because I'm just an old. I grew up a thug in the city. So
you're just a young person
I got to a farm one time in my life, and I got impressed.
You don't have to go to a farm to find things like that.
Now, Maze, would you pay attention here, please? I went to a farm one time in my life, and I was impressed with nature a lot more instead of coming back to the city being part of destruction, okay?
Oh, okay.
So
that stuff do work. You could take lime and sprinkle on your tomatoes. That stuff was cheap, man. It wasn't expensive. A lot of stuff you have in the bottom of your kitchen cabinet that you can use in order to control insects and pests on your garden.
And your body, too.
And it won't. Yeah, and that's another thing, in your body, too.
Okay.
But your mosquitoes, you just get bit all up. That's what kills me, when y'all just get bit up, spray. Go bang your can of spray and spray it. When you can use something natural and put it on your body, and the mosquitoes will run from you. And that, too.
But don't the mosquito acts like it's like food for another bug that eats a whole lot of bugs that get on your plants?
Ladybugs. Them ladybugs eat up them aphids. Those aphids, those little white bugs that be on your lettuce and stuff like that. So what you do, you plant a crop that attract ladybugs. And why are they there? They would rather eat the insects rather than mess with the with your crop. That particular crop.
So ladybugs are kind of rough because when I'm crawling my
foot,
it's amazing
how you can learn.
It's cute.
Yeah, people can learn stuff if they listen.
That damn thing bit me. ladybug. So how often do those things, like the ladybugs, do they go ahead and do they grow and attack bigger bugs?
No, it's very seldom they attack bigger bugs. It's always the big bug that attacks the little bug.
Oh, so they don't gang up? Because like, if you had, like locusts or something like that, don't they go ahead? What is some of the
They don't like the taste of tobacco, man.
All of them?
Well, you know, the ones that I have sprayed for to get rid of them, my tomatoes come up, they wouldn't have them holes all, you know, in them and all that stuff. Your spinach wouldn't have big bites out of them. Spinach is real beautiful when it's time to pick.
I like spinach.
In the fall. Well, see, another thing with spinach, spinach don't have the nutrients in it like it used to because the soil has been depleted to hell.
So making these compost heaps, doesn't that go ahead and help enrich the soil?
Yeah, compost does. It breaks down faster than, well, any of it, because the ground is going to take what it needs. And, you know, you get some fertilizers that's got those three different numbers, nitrogen and potassium and so on. Your ground is, and the plant is going to take only what it needs. It's going to leave the rest.
So
believe it or not,
harmful. The rest could be harmful?
Well, yeah. I got a tree of Colorado spruce in my front yard. And when I brought it home in my Volkswagen. And now this thing is about 25 foot tall. And I don't fertilize it. The leaves that fall off, the things on it that fall off within its drip line, it decomposes and refeeds, so it rejuvenates itself. I used to love to grow stuff, man. I used to start my garden off on the kitchen table. I used to have a pot where I start off my corn on the kitchen table.
Okay,
and when it get up.
I've got a very, very important question, really, really important. Who is willing to come to the UK and sort out my garden? That's a serious question.
I don't think y'all can grow anything over there in the UK. You don't have enough sun, do you?
You're damn right. That's why we're all suffering from a lack of vitamin D. You're damn right. That's why we're slowly but surely dying and have to go back home. You can't stay here.
You know, that was one of the reasons why come the British colonized rather than bring slaves up to your land. Well, two reasons. They didn't want to have to do with the residual effects. And if they colonize and grow stuff in Africa, then all they got to do is harvest it and bring it back and process. That's what they had going on in Zimbabwe.
Yeah. With England, it's very hard, though, because they do have allotments. They do have, do you not have allotments in the U.S.?
Allotments for what?
Allotments are like they're basically parks, but it's cut into sections for people to go and grow stuff like peas.
Urban gardens.
You call it a different name. Okay, well, same thing, different name. But we have that, but there's not really much, as Pionki was saying, that you can actually grow. So that's true.
Yeah, you don't have no sunshine.
Right. We've got rain, plenty of that, but no sunshine. Well, right now it's overheating.
That's why come it's hard to strike up a relationship with a black woman from the UK because they're crabby, they don't get no sunshine.
No, we do, because we travel. You see, we don't stay here. We travel from tender ages. We travel.
All right, anybody, you guys have your final thoughts? Because we're getting short on the
But
the,
you know what? I told you before, Cloud, there's some black women down in the South, Georgia, in Mississippi, that's got organic farms, and they can only handle so much. And you know, when I talked to them, I talked to the one lady, I think I told you that before. She said her drawback is that she can't produce enough to meet the demand that some of these stores that deal in organic products, you know, their demand is greater than she can meet. And it's a lot of more room for expansion. People, when I go to Whole Foods here in St. Louis, man, that place is packed all the time. And folks don't mind paying the price.
That was your those are your final thoughts, Pink?
That was my final thought.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to know. All right. Whoever wants to go next, you can go next.
Hey, listen, this, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, this is Michigan. Like I told you, brother, you know, it's better to have a focused show. I did learn a few things, but, I mean, you be all over the place, and to me, it's a disservice to the, you know, the people when you have these shows and just kind of go all over the place. So, I mean, to me, it's better to have a focused show. So,
conversations sometimes, and I know all these people, sometimes conversations, they change into things, you know.
I understand that.
Sometimes it's good and some.
Wait, we're going to get back to Beasley when he's ready to do his final thoughts. But you can continue, Michigan.
Yeah. But that was basically it. I mean, because ultimately, unless I'm missing some of my shit, I don't think we're just on these shows talking to be talking, you know. And so ultimately, I would assume that we're looking to better our community. And, hell, I learned something new today. I thought this show was, you know, centered around, you know, helping the black community. But, shit, I learned something new today. It's just, shit, sometimes you just talking to be talking, which I have a problem with, but should I learn that today? So, but anyway, peace out.
We sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for your response. Anybody else want to give their final thoughts as well?
I can.
Go ahead, Max.
Sometimes the show is roll of the dice because sometimes it's boring, sometimes it's an argument, and sometimes it's a learning experience. And sometimes it's about some things you hear that's a way out of thinking you have nowhere else to go. And sometimes listening to other people, you got to get out of the trap and find things in different ways. And you won't be stuck in that doomsday situation. That's it.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for that contribution. I think that was good information. I know we still have, man, who else we have? We have Beasley. I know we have Queen. Did you want to go next, Queen, or?
I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to speak on the show. And before I called in, I was actually learning something. So thanks for the information.
Oh, not a problem. That was like the the shortest last words I think so far. But yeah, we appreciate you guys calling in. We definitely appreciate it. Beasley, I unmuted your mic.
You mute me a lot. I don't know why, because I know how to behave. I hear Michigan Man talk. He's Michigan. I think he calls himself Michigan Man and. No, he's a level-headed man. I mean, this show isn't only just about the black community. It's mostly black people that go here. When you talk about talking to be this for the sake of talking, that's all facts. He's a babbling idiot. Everybody knows it but him. He's a babbling idiot. Just talks on and on and on. He's an expert on everything, but I don't ever think he hasn't accomplished much in life. That's just my opinion. Have a good one.
We thank you so much for your contribution as well. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to mute you. I thought that was the close
of the time.
Of your thought.
That's my thought. People talking for the sake of talking. That's all facts. It just babbles on and on. Is an expert on seems to be an expert on everything. It's a fucking idiot. But go ahead. That's all.
Okay. I just want to thank everybody for calling in. I personally learned a whole lot from you guys. So, I think, a lot of good stuff was definitely said. A lot of views were expressed. A lot of ideas were shared. And And we really appreciate every single one of you guys that come in to call in. So love and hugs to everyone in the chat room, on the phone lines, and you subscribers and archivers of the show, you know, everyone that's going to listen to it later on. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. Without your viewpoints, these learning and teachable moments, you know, it's definitely a teachable moment for myself. You know, we wouldn't be able to enjoy what we've discovering here. And so remember to come back and tune in tomorrow. The topic will be human trafficking modern-day slaves. So, yeah, we're going to get into that particular topic. And so that's the show. It's over. Close the curtains. Exit the building. Final chapter in the book. Until next time, you guys, we'll see you back here. Have a joyous and peaceful day until we get back again. Yesterday's topic was about healthy living and healthy eating. We dealt with the GMOs, the pesticides, the herbicides. So it was a lot of good information. You know, the topics were out there. The headlines were on point. You know, a few discussions took place, and they were not on topic, but that's what happens when you have the beauty of everybody contributing. You know, some people share what they think, and you know, and what's on their mind, and we go from there. So, we again thank everybody for tuning in, and thank you all for your sharing your thoughts, for chiming in, for participating. Because, like I said, without you guys, it wouldn't be a show, basically. So until tomorrow, you guys have a joyous and peaceful day until we see you guys again. Goodbye.